Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks to the organizers. It's a pleasure to be back at Perimeter. I haven't been here for quite a long time, and it's such a vibrant place. And this workshop conference is quite astonishing. I have been enjoying all the talks and learning. And in a similar vein of the quantum simulations of or for fundamental physics, I will discuss this result that we put out about 6 months ago, actually, on traversable wormhole dynamics on a quantum processor, or in general, how you connect entanglement, space-time, and quantum gravity, and is there a way to benchmark it in quantum processors and chip before you go and do some other ambitious laboratory experiment on fiber. There were discussed yesterday many, many good ideas on how to do that. This project is funded and started in 2018. It took us 4 good years of sort of wrestling with it. It wasn't easy. The collaborators here are students from Caltech and Harvard. Now actually Alex Zlokava started as an undergraduate on this project, and his contribution were huge. David Kolchmeier was a graduate at Harvard. The both of them are now at MIT. Samantha Davis is still a graduate student at Caltech. Daniel Jafferis is the co-author of the original traversable wormhole scenario from 2016. Nikolai Lauk is back in Canada. He was a Caltech postdoc, and now he's in Calgary. Joel Licken, a trained string theorist that is now the head of the Fermilab Quantum Institute. Hartmut Neven from Google Quantum AI. And the attribution is the project from the Office of High Energy Physics. It's called Quantized on Quantum Communication Channels for Fundamental Physics. And when we started doing this this work, we wanted to embed an SYK and code an SYK model on a chip, but that was considered pretty preposterous because of the resources on the chip that exists would not match any mesoscopic or semi-classical and to infinity SYK models. So there was a lot of work initially to understand the SYK model on normal computers, simulations, with n equals 10, where n is the number of qubits or the number of Majoranas, and then figure out what we can do. And just doing the classical simulation and understanding if there is, in a small SYK model, if the duality or the AdS/CFT correspondence where you can have a gravity dual to a quantum strongly correlated system, if this is understood at n equals 10, for example, a small n, that would be already something. But we managed to do a little more, and I will explain this in this talk. All right. Two resources that are conjectures, let's say, that are assumptions before you go on this work is the ER equals ZPR conjecture or hypothesis. That was by Saskind in around 2015 or so, Saskind and Maldacena, where they said basically that a wormhole as a bridge, as Einstein-Rosen bridge, is equivalent or equal, this is a little bit misleading, to the picture or to the phenomenon of of entanglement. And what this would say in plain understanding is that perhaps entanglement, quantum entanglement, is the source of space, the bridge, in other words, in the description, in the gravity description, is because of entanglement. That would mean, if entanglement is a source of space, that entanglement, in the way we study, is not space coordinate dependent, which is the case in a quantum many-body system such as the SYK and the lattice. And then holography, the ADS-CFT correspondence, holography or duality, this is again, Maldacena came up with this idea, and there's caveats there, which I will talk about. So let's talk about quantum gravity. There is, we don't have a model of quantum gravity. We have a framework of trying to understand what quantum gravity or quantum gravities could be, theoretically. Einstein told us that gravity is a curvature of space-time, but what is the fabric itself? What is space itself? And from the quantum point of view, what is it? If you try and go to the Planck length and talk about it, you come up with you come up with weird sort of inconsistencies with the standard model and the cosmological constant. So you have to think about space in some different way. In the scales where we do experiments, gravity is weak, and so the way we do quantum gravity in the past 50 years comes from theoretical laboratories, namely understanding black holes, which are thermodynamical systems, and some of their quantum properties are established from semi-classical arguments, for example, Hawking radiation, and perhaps you can get actual data from gravity wave observatories. I will not talk about any such or holometers or such experiments. But throwing in this consideration, this ADS-CFT correspondence or duality, which was discussed by the string theorist and specifically Juan Maldacena starting in 1997, so it's been quite some time, 25 years, it provides, this correspondence, this duality provides some framework for talking about quantum gravity, but it's not the real world. And having the disclaimer here of about the ADS-CFT correspondence, I took this excerpt from a paper, from an Anra Wald paper, that ADS-CFT correspondence is a conjecture, and our difficulty in assessing the validity of the argument against information loss is not so much that this conjecture has not been proven, but rather that it has not been formulated in sufficient detail and with sufficient precision to make a clear argument. In particular, relatively little is explicitly known about the dictionary between the bulk observables in the asymptotically ADS space-time and the CFT observables defined in the boundary theory. And this is a very valid criticism. Maybe with ChatGPT, somebody will make, since we saw this, very enticing and ambitious, and I think useful, very useful efforts, maybe this dictionary will start be building based on all the knowledge acquired. But I want to say, because I am a particle physicist, experimentalist, I want to say that in the standard model, duality is also something we see. The gauge symmetry is not a symmetry of the S matrix, but rather a redundancy in the description of the system. So the language matters. So the duality was explored by Higgs to explain the Higgs mechanism, or Anderson-Higgs mechanism. The Higgs is in the relativistic case. In the Lorentz gauge description, Goldstone theorem applies, and there are Goldstone modes. You get Higgs states. In the Coulomb gauge, there are no Goldstones, no Higgs. It's the same. They're dual in that sense. So we have in nature this type of dualities in many pictures, and we shouldn't forget that. And if you go deep into that, especially quantum chemists and others are using the gauge, the Lorentz gauge, more than the Coulomb gauge, because in the Coulomb you don't want to quantize the charge. But you see that one is connected to the Minkowski space and one is connected to the Euclidean space. So when we say language, the coordinates are important. Now, can we learn anything about quantum gravity by taking these quantum systems, quantum dynamics of entangled systems? That means approaching quantum gravity starting from an extreme quantum regime, identifying features emergent from entanglement. As yesterday we heard the talks that there was another kind of simulator, quantum simulator, which was the emergent one. I find this very, very interesting to describe it like that. And so if we identify emergent features from entanglement and then we can map them into recognizable features of the semi-classical gravity regimes, that will be useful for the study. That means finding also an appropriate quantum system that is amenable for study. For example, the one that has been calculated to have the ADS-CFT correspondence is the SYK model. Now, corresponding systems in the semi-classical gravity regime that have these distinctive features are, for example, black holes, which is the theoretical laboratory so far for quantum gravity, and wormholes. And again, I mentioned the Planck length before and the inconsistencies we find ourselves in the standard model of cosmology and particle physics. But in this case, because the gravity effects are emergent from quantum dynamics, we don't need to talk about the Planck length. All right, let's talk quickly about the SYK. It's a quantum mechanical model of N interacting Majorana fermions and interacting, the connections are Q at the time, with random couplings scaled by an overall strong coupling J. Quantum mechanical Majorana fermion operators are the same things as appropriately chosen strings of Pauli operators, so it's a Jordan-Wigner transformation. And that means we can try to realize these quantum dynamics on a quantum processor. Now, I mentioned before the N equals 10, but for N less, maybe less than 30, we have done our calculations of all the features up to N equals 20. We think we can go a little higher where we can simulate these models on a classical computer. And here are the sources of when these ideas, independently starting with Shubhir Shastev and Ye, initially in 1993, so that's also 30 years development, and then Kitaev, who identified the correspondence and the gravity dual of the SYK. That was in 2015. But the model was then referred to as the SYK model. Some of the features. The Hamiltonian is strongly coupled, but non-local. So there's no spatial dependence. That's important because if entangled systems depend on space, they cannot give space. So that's important. The eigenvalue spectrum exhibits level repulsion of the different levels. We will see this here when I explain that figure. And you can do averaged over an ensemble of random instantiations. And then the distribution of eigenvalue spacings converges with those of random matrix theory for large n. For large enough n, SYK is self-averaging. So a single instantiation is enough, and this is shown here. This is for n equals 18 and q equals 4, so there are four, every four are connected, with level spacing distribution showing here versus the separation of the eigenvalues here as. The blue histogram is averaging over 400 instantiations of this SYK Hamiltonian. The orange histogram is sort of scaled up by rescaling the spectrum such that the mean level spacing is the same for all energies. And the green histogram is taken from that one here with the biggest, with not a good resolution, is taken from a single instantiation. The red dash is the distribution expected in the very large n limit for random matrices from Gaussian unitary ensembles. And two of the characteristics for the SYK, yes.
Thank you. Can you go back? Can you please explain what is the level spacing distribution?
The level spacing distribution is for the different energy levels as a function of the eigenvalues for this Hamiltonian, for the solution. This is for n equals, you see the difference you want to observe here is this, which is for n equals 18, versus this, which is for the infinity. You can consider them, it's the energy, or you can consider them as momentum modes. Now, two of the characteristics that are important for the SYK model and the understanding of the dual, the gravity dual, is properties that refer to quantum chaos, and gravity is chaotic also, so we have to remember that. And the chaotic dynamics is encoded in the thermalization. This is the two-point function, the thermal correlators between any fermion at time t equals zero and the same fermion at later time t. So this is showing you the thermalization. Does it thermalize or does it not thermalize? And here it is for n equals 10 and q equals 4. And so it shows the dissipation time and the individual instantiations. So overall, it goes down. Here is the time, 100, versus the lower time, 10. And so you see that it dissipates. Of course, for people who are studying these in many-body systems, the question will arise, will this have recurrences and go up again? Because then there is thermalization, but then it's again disturbed, so you have to understand what that means. So this characteristic time here is called the dissipation or thermalization time. The other characteristic that has to do with quantum chaos is the butterfly functions, and these are the out-of-time order correlators, which are the four-point functions. And it shows how the evolution goes forward and backward. And the SYK model does exhibit many-body quantum chaos on the exponential growth of the out-of-time order correlators, showing the exponential operator growth of a fermion over time. And the characteristic time is called scrambling time. An important thing that we learned when talking to Alexei Kitaev and people who have studied these for a long, long time, is that the exponential growth is parameterized by the Lyapunov exponent, and that is an important This is an important measure of the scrambling, which for small values of n, Alexei told us that it is ill-defined. So I will come back to this, but this is an important follow-up study that we are doing in order to understand that Lyapunov exponent. In you will find Lyapunov exponent in fluid dynamics and in chaotic dynamics, classical ones, in classical systems as well. And it's very interesting, and we're still learning how to understand this in terms of the gravity dual. The fast scrambling of quantum information is a characteristic feature of black hole dynamics, thermodynamics. So this is the butterfly that you usually see in the various articles that goes into the black hole. And we can even be more ambitious and look at the dynamics of the two entangled copies of the SYK model. And this can be related to the dynamics of the traversable wormhole. And this was the work of our collaborator, Jefferies, as well as Juan Maldacena, who studied this in the classical limit. It's called the eternal wormhole in this work with Stanford. And he tried to characterize thermalization and scrambling, low temperature, high temperature, and different kind of end limits. Yes.
So a question. Before you were saying this dictionary is not very detailed, but now you're extending it from black holes to wormholes. And so
that's
how
right.
Can you extrapolate from the initial holography to spin it further? I see there are a lot of further adaptations of this. And what is your opinion?
You are correct.
About?
This is why we are studying it. So we are not formulating the exact dictionary. We are taking what was developed so far, and you will see in a little bit how, in fact, all these metrics, you can doubt them, right? The main achievement here is that we managed to simulate it in the classical computers and understand some of these characteristics. And then what we will do by the end of the talk is we will embed it, we will code the Majorana system on a chip, and we will see if the entanglement of the two side systems is giving us something in the data of the processor that, you know, modulo the noise, which we will take into account also in our classical simulations, whether it is observable, whether we look like we are on the right understanding in order to develop that dictionary. And in some of these metrics, you will see that we add some additional metrics from the past 5 years that the Stanford group developed, and I will talk about that. But your observation is correct. There is an imprecise dictionary, and by these studies and studies on top of these studies, we hope to make it more precise and convincing. And somebody yesterday asked, well, how do you believe your experiment? Well, if you do it in more than one processor, with more than one architecture, with more than one, and you will do the same way we do in trying to reproduce our results in a laboratory. We believe the Higgs because we saw it in many modes, in more than one experiment, and with a good signal-to-noise ratio. So this is work in progress, I should say. All right, so let's go to the traversable wormhole part. And this is from the paper in 1935, The Bridge. It's the Einstein-Rosen bridge. This is also known as the extension of the metric for a static black hole. And it looks like you have two connected black holes, one in this region and one in this region. This is the original example of a wormhole, namely a connection a connection of the two black hole, a connection of these asymptotic regimes. But that wormhole is not traversable. In other words, if you try to approach here from here and here from here, it will take you a millisecond. If you have Alice here and Bob here, they might have a handshake quickly, but no information will be exchanged. And that was a non-traversable general relativity wormhole or bridge. Wormhole, by the way, is from Archibald, from Feynman's advisor at Princeton. Somebody tell me the name. Thank you. Who, instead of calling it bridge, he renamed it as wormhole, and that stuck. So going now to this ADS-CFT correspondence that the string theorists have been working on, both in terms of models for fundamental physics and also for quantum systems like the SYK. In this framework, there is a connection between quantum entanglement and wormholes, and one makes makes a near bridge between two ADS black holes. And we say ADS is not real space. It's a framework. So the asymptotic regions are the boundaries of the, these asymptotic regions are the boundaries of the anti-de Sitter spaces. So the duality says that the bridge is an entangled state of the two quantum field theories that live in the boundaries, written as a thermofield double, which is the lowest energy, a little above the lowest energy state. And since the black hole exterior regions are causally disconnected, if you want a description of either one, you should trace out the states of the other one in the thermofield double. And that gives a thermal state density matrix for each individual black hole at the Hawking temperature with entanglement entropy. In other words, the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. So there is a very nice paper by Maldacena on that. But in essence, the original insight from the UNRWA effect on how Hawking radiation essentially does not care about curvature and how Hawking radiation is connected to entanglement. In other words, it is a property of quantum entanglement as applied to the vacuum of a 4D Minkowski space. This type of insight, which came from 1976, has been the most useful when we came back, after we did everything, and we came back to understand the wormhole dynamics, where it makes much more sense in terms of, in fact, the Rindler coordinates and the UNRWA effect. So in 2016, our collaborator Daniel at Harvard and Gao and Wall showed how to make traversable wormholes by pushing a negative energy flux that shrinks the horizon, just like the insight of Hawking that Hawking radiation is an effect, is a quantum effect of a negative energy. And for those of you that are doing quantum squeezing of light in quantum optics experiments and you're talking about negative energies, this is, in terms of the insight, is very similar. So that opens up the route for the that is traversable for some period of time, and the period of time is shown here, and the bridge is shown here. So the particle from the one asymptotic region goes to the other. It cannot go in and out at whatever time. The bridge opens and closes, and if it doesn't. If it does, it's going to thermalize, scramble, get a negative energy pulse, that, and this can be trotterized. It can be many small energy pulses, and then it will get on the other side And the idea will be when we take the dual description of this gravity picture on the SYK system, can we write down the circuit that will do the equivalent? And that presents then the quantum, the traversable wormhole quantum teleportation protocol that was developed by Jafaris after we started this project. So he wrote down the protocol. And you might ask, you know, where's the phone call in the Alice Bob case? And in this case, the way we do it on a chip, we don't have a phone call. I will show it to you on a following slide. We do defer measurement for short range entanglement teleportation and entanglement distribution. I will make a few more comments about the ER equal EPR hypothesis. So the bridge occurs because the two black holes are quantumly entangled, and that bridge we call a wormhole, and more generally, wormholes are a result of entanglement between certain kinds of quantum systems. One of them is the SYK. Is there another one? And you can ask me, SYK is a 0 plus 1 dimensional system. What is the dimension of the bridge? It is a two-dimensional bridge, of which one is the same, one is the time. Time doesn't change here. So it's an emergent line in the dual description. And what is the characterization of this space that in the dual picture emerges from the entanglement? When we showed that to Juan Maldacena, he said, is it an SL3? Is it a... well, we don't know. You have to do more experiments. You have to do more characterization of what that is. All right, so this is the duality. This is the same picture as in the original paper here, just a little bit more organized so that we show the left side, with the left side, so, or the left, if you want, black hole, the right black hole, the right side, or the right mouth of the wormhole. And this is the qubit being sent in, getting the negative energy pulse and read out here. That is like the one pad type of equivalent in encryption. So this is quantum. This is not the classical phone call between Alice and Bob, but it doesn't matter. It is what it is. And if we take this and we want to make the quantum circuit, we will do a Bell, an EPR pair here with two qubits. We will swap in. That will be, one will be the probe and one will be the reference. We will swap it in. From the thermofield double, we go backward in time with a unit hurry. We apply the energy, the negative energy shock wave as an E to I mu V here. That's the interaction. So in the Hamiltonian, I will have Hamiltonian left, Hamiltonian right interaction terms. And that's that's very important for the interaction, because if the interaction is positive or if the interaction is negative, just like the negative energy shock wave, in one case, there is no teleportation, wormhole traversable teleportation. There's other phenomena there, but not that. And we can see that both in the classical and in the when we embed it on the chip. And then we have the readout here. The readout register is here. So left side, right side, we ended up with 7 Majoranas here, 7 Majoranas here. Qubit goes in and measured out, and we take the mutual information from this to this in order to figure out if we have teleportation via traversable wormhole, via the bridge. And this is a little better, I guess, here in this with more words about the wormhole at time zero. This is left and right side, the pair, the readout, and all the evolutions in time. And again, the protocol, we wrote it down in many, many words so that people can understand what we did. You see this? Yes, I have to go fast. So the part now of the SYK wormholes, it's important to identify in which regime we are. How many qubits? What is the connections? How many connections per qubit? The temperature, which is 1/beta, and the coupling. And so it has been shown explicitly that the thermofield double state or entangled state of the two systems exhibits holographic duality. This is not a this is a matter of calculation. So for this one particular system, at the n, at this certain regime of parameters, ER equals ZPR is valid calculationally. And again, that is the typical teleportation experiment that you see. Bob, Alice, the message is a superposition of states, of polystates, and there's a C-node. There is the entanglement. The first stage is the entanglement, and then there is the readouts, and then there is the phone calls here. This is for long range. For short range, you do a deferred of the measurement in the end, and this is what you do on the chip. In other words, you read out, and you the entanglement, the quantum entanglement is doing the work for you. You don't need. That's why people in encryption and cryptography, they call it one-pad encryption. So, no, we can't, out of the box, we couldn't do that. So, if we are using SYK with n Majoranas, then you will need a quantum processor with at least n qubits. So in the regime that we showed there, you would need hundreds of thousands of qubits in order to do the one which you have computed already to have the ER EPR. Also, if for n equals 50 and q equals 8, for example, dense connections, the Hamiltonian has 536 million terms. How do you code this thing? This is both in terms of how many qubits you have, the circuit depth, how you do it, not easy. What about the smaller n? Would the smaller n have the characteristics similarly so that you can say maybe for smaller n also there is a gravity dual? We study that. We find some of these metrics to be persuasively as the ones in the large n case, in the parameters where it's calculated by the string theories. But still, for n equals 10 and q equals 4, the Hamiltonian has 210 terms. And so we went from a Hamiltonian of 210 terms using optimization of the Hamiltonian on one of the metrics, which is the mutual information in the beginning and in the end for the readouts, so that we see the teleportation via traversable wormhole. And then we examined all of the rest of the parameters. So, and now I'm going to show you quickly the mutual information. This is an NE entropy in particular. This is for two copies of n equals 10 and q equals 4 single instantiations. That's why you see all the wavy single instantiations of the SYK. The orange is when mu is negative, negative energy pulse, so that we shrink the horizon, so that we open the bridge. And the green is the positive, so the mutual information is in the positive. It wiggles, but it doesn't have a maximum. That maximum here is where traversable teleportation via traversable wormhole happens. That's when the door opens. This is where we are going to use that is our metric that we are using in order to sparsify our model and go from 210 terms into 5. I call this the Slocapahedron because my student Alex Slocapa, we had to wrestle back and forth on how we do this optimization and how to do the penalization and the regularization. So we come up with a Hamiltonian of 5 terms, all right? And so I will be 2 minutes over. And so we examine now the dynamics of the sparsified model, what you see here is for mu plus and mu minus, the five-term Hamiltonian plus the interaction term, how it compares to the full n equals 10. Now, you can ask me also, is this five-term Hamiltonian an SYK model? I don't know. It came from a family of SYKs with a machine learning optimization, and it gave me this Hamiltonian that preserved the metrics. And so, for the interest of time, I'm showing you the mutual information. The learned Hamiltonian learned preserves it, and you will say, but it's ad hoc, you optimized on that. Sure, but then we examine the three other properties, namely the size winding for through the wormhole teleportation. This is a long program of the Stanford group that does a mapping between the operator growth of fermions in the SYK dynamics and a fermion propagating through the wormhole. So this is a delicate program, powerful and questioned, and controversial, questioned by a lot. Is the size winding necessary and sufficient? Is it only necessary to mark wormhole via teleportation? But we did this for our model, for our model, which you can call it a baby SYK mutation, if you want, because it is not an SYK rigorous model, it comes from the SYK. So the results that we found is on 160 on the Sycamore in 2021. So for 3 or 4 years, we were doing all the classical understanding, and then we embedded it. We picked 9 of the best qubits with the cross entropy benchmarking the best possible fidelity qubits, and here's those errors, if you want, or the fidelity. We picked 9 of 57 in this version. Here's the mutual information that I showed you in the learned, in all the full SYK, and this is what we see in the data. If there is no energy, negative energy pulse, in other words, if the coding of the e to the I mu v is not there, so they are two free systems, it's the black dots, more or less flat. The gray dots are the classical simulation on the classical computer for the n equals 10 with the folded with the noise of that we got, the parameterized version of the noise from Google, from the Sycamore. They did the calibrations and all of that, and they gave us a model for the noise. As in particular we were running, right, for this particular period, not a generic one. And then the orange ones are the ones we observe. So in the mutual information, we observe what we expected with some smearing, clearly. If you did the analysis as an LHC analysis, this came out to something like 7 sigma or something like that. But what is it now? I'm in between you and the lunch. And so what is it that we did? We didn't drill a hole, clearly, in space-time. But also, we didn't do just the numerical calculation because there is entanglement on the chip. So we have to remind ourselves that the entanglement of the qubits on the chip is important in order to do this study so that we say that there was an emergent space bridge in the dual description, in the dual gravity description. And so I wanted to say that, in fact, we checked how our signal and noise would change the picture. If the noise of Google was half of what we had, we would have 10 times more signal. It would be much cleaner than what I showed you. If it was 10% of the noise that they had, it would be 100. Notice here the scale. And if we had double the noise, we wouldn't see anything, so our paper would say inconclusive. We would have done the studies, we would have done the metrics, we would not have been able to say one way or another. So this is simple enough. It can be done on a classical computer. we have to understand what it means in terms of benchmarking for quantum gravity. But once we arrive at 50 to 100 qubits, then you cannot do the calculation. So you have to trust the quantum computer. You're taking a bet. It will be complicated. To explore the mesoscopic, which is the 50 to 100, we will need a program of experiments on suitable quantum processors. So what we have right now with the n equals 10, it's a zero step into understanding on both sides, both in our calculations and what the simulator, what the quantum processor is doing. Okay, and I will leave you with this. What else can we learn? These are the questions, basically, that we were asked by string theories. Can you tell us what is the space? What is the space in between? Can you throw a qubit backward and forward and see if there is Shapiro delay? Can you put another photon to probe? Can you check? They asked us various other things, and we are working to design another experiment with extra terms in the Hamiltonian, because now they have improved a little bit the processors. So we are, and other people are studying this, and they're studying also from the many-body system, the thermalization and scrambling, especially, and the chaotic dynamics, which are extremely important. So the program for the metrics and the variables that we need to use is now happening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take a couple of questions.
Thanks. So is 100 qubits enough to start answering some of these questions, or is there a forecast of where you need to be to do something interesting in regards to these?
Yeah. So 100 is not enough. You have to ask the question, the 100 qubits with which fidelity and which connectivity? So the architecture. So for example, am I recorded? For example, other processors have deployed much bigger chips, 500, they say 1,000, etc. But if the architecture and the errors are not to the level, then you can't do this type of experiment. You will get lost. And so once we arrive, and then for the architecture, it's important to ask how many gates and how shallow is the circuit. And so what I call the quantum engineers of the designs of the chip, and we are working together in order to figure out, as we put extra terms, are the 160 gates, two qubit gates used? Do we need to have 500? And the answer is yes. And can they give us that amount? With the current one that we are working, it's possible. So we can add term by term. And also we can add perturbation so that the Hamiltonian is not integrable or commuting. There is interesting, that Hamiltonian that was discovered by the machine learning to preserve the properties is an interesting and kind of wacky Hamiltonian. Everybody was a little, from the very first presentation on December, everybody was like, wait a minute, this is a commuting Hamiltonian, what's happening? And it's small, and what is this animal? Can you really connect it with gravity? Well, we have to answer these questions. And I think step by step, so step by step.
Thank you for this interesting talk. I was curious, can these kinds of experiments be used to really learn more about how entanglement might give rise to space? Or do they ultimately shed more light on the dictionary?
Thank you for asking this. It's an important question. This is not a direct detection of anything.
Of course.
Okay? This is not a direct detection of quantum gravity. This is a study of whether the theoretical frameworks we have for quantum gravity and what you all put in your slides that Feynman said, nature, if we can do something with that. Yeah? So in the same sense that you cannot there are people asking me, can you make a quantum computer and replace the LHC? No. Can you make a quantum LIGO? The LIGO is quantum, but can you replace LIGO with some quantum calculation on the quantum computer? No. You need the experiments, the direct probes, and this will help us. Like I said, the SYK, the baby mutation of the SYK we have, we don't know what it is in the gravity picture at all. We have no clue. And there is no string theorist who can tell us what it is. It is something that preserves the mutual information, first qubit in, first out, which in the scrambled case, it's not the case. It comes, it doesn't follow the causality. It only shows the mutual information for the negative energy pulse. So some of these characteristics, it has the size winding property that is what I started saying in the beginning, and it's a difficult problem and it's difficult to explain because we don't understand it exactly, that size winding encodes this Lyapunov exponent. So this particle physicist right now, my friend Guy Advalli, that says perhaps all baryons are black holes, so we should study the Lyapunov exponent. And these are ideas that used to be very far-fetched ideas, but we will have now a way to test some of the ideas. By no means you can substitute direct experiments.
Thanks for the very interesting talk. I have a couple of technical questions. If you can go back to the mutual information recovery plot that you showed. So when you build the sparsified machine learning optimized Hamiltonian,
I think you are asking the question. Let me
okay,
see sure. If I can. I think I know which this one you're asking. How the mutual information, how the loss function here is penalizing. It's penalizing the terms in the Hamiltonian where the mutual information is not on the peak.
Right. No, that's not my question.
Okay.
So when you train this machine learning model, are the inputs and outputs that are using to train it on then the same ones that you deploy on the quantum computer, or are those out of sample?
No, others. States? You have a test sample and a training sample.
I understand, but then what is the testing sample? Do you do out
from of the classical? Sample? Yes, from the classical simulations that we have, we take all the instantiations that we have for n equals 10 and beta equals 4, because obviously beta equals 0 doesn't work, we can't do, and beta equals 16, you're losing it. There's no traversable wormhole, but you are using the classical data sets in order to train the machine learning in order to deliver the Hamiltonian, and then you just give the Hamiltonian you encode the Hamiltonian in terms of the circuit.
Right, but the inputs that are then used on the quantum computer, are those states presented or represented in the training set that was used to train the sparsified model?
Only in terms of the mutual information. In terms of the size winding, in terms of the mu of the interaction, in terms of the other characteristics, no. Only in terms of the mutual information.
Okay. And if you go back to there was the noise error bars and the machine. I'm sorry, the mutual information error bars. Why are the mutual information error bars so much bigger than the estimate of the noise?
So these are you mean in the classical one? Because we fold in the errors from the model that Google is giving us.
But isn't that just the black dots with the error bars?
The black dots do not have at all interaction. There is no teleportation. It's the right and left side are not connected.
Okay.
It's nothing happening. It's let's say it's the ambient. With nothing happening, this is the signal you would get. You would get no signal.
Okay, I'm trying to understand why the, the orange or the gray error bars are so much bigger than the estimate of the noise.
You're saying why the ambient noise does not... Well, very good question. The error bars here are also encoding our understanding of what other stringy other than the elastic, there is inelastic effects. The elastic effects are the stringy phenomena that could be happening. And so we don't have an understanding of this. And also, you have to also take into account that it could be even larger because we don't have systematics. We have the modeling errors, and they give us errors, right? They're not non-errors. But your point is very good. There is other dynamics that is happening in there that has errors in our understanding. So these are taken into account. We don't know precisely what is going on. We think that the signal of the mutual information is the quantum teleportation based on our classical calculation with the noise, but other effects are happening in there, other stringy effects are happening in there.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, a question related also to the semantics. So you call it an experiment, but you are running this on existing quantum computation facilities. What about instead of doing this, building an experiment from scratch, where to investigate that? I don't know, like graphene states or other things. Is that the best and the only way forward?
Well, yeah. I mean, DOE will not give me the money to build a quantum computer or a processor. That's for sure not. But other experiments, if you want to do, I showed you seven Majoranas. For n equals 10, our Hamiltonian is seven Majoranas here, seven Majoranas there. And you can ask me, well, in a fiber-based experiment, can you have seven entangled photons, let's say, and you do it over the fiber and you try to do the protocol over the fiber? One could. A lot of, we're thinking about it. How to do it is difficult. I think the larger cluster state, other than GHZ and so on and so forth, that has been made and controlled in a lab was maybe 4 years ago in China. They had 9 qubits entangled for a significant amount of time. If I wanted to do that wormhole teleportation protocol, I would need some such to do, and then I would need all the quantum optics set up to do it. Or I will have to figure out some other way, some other experimental way. This helps. We have to think the best, the fastest we thought. When our collaborator, Jaffe, when we started that, and when we started doing the classical calculations to understand this, is to make a protocol, a wormhole teleportation protocol, that would be in accord with the Jaffe's traversable wormhole paper that was met with a lot of excitement. But theoretical excitement and putting it now, coding it, even in the Google processor, that's a big, you know, effort and difference, and also different pushback, because now we the rubber hits the road. We have to be precise about how we are talking about everything. There is the issue thermalization at the time of teleportation versus thermalization forever, and there is a lot of questions to be answered, and that's why I call it a zero step of a mutation of an interesting model. The SYK model is very interesting. We asked, can we make the model higher dimensional? It's impossible to. It's very difficult. Alexei told me, no, I don't know how to do it. In other words, to make the emergent space in terms of space dimension two-dimensional, not a line, but an actual two-dimensional on the dual disk. These are all very good questions that we have to grapple with.
Great, I think that's a good point to end on. So let's thank the speaker again.